All right, so like I said, this is Let the Little Children Come to Jesus Sunday. And in years past, we've had a whole crowd of kids here. But because the pandemic's going on, plus I think spring break is really hit us hard this particular year, too. We don't have a big crowd of kids here in the building that we have had before. But we do have representative samples of young people. We've got Baby Elliot back in the nursery right now, I believe. And then we've got these three right up here, and I'm going to have you guys come up in just a moment. Can you guys help me with some stuff? Can you do that? Can you be brave for me? And we've got some high schoolers as well that are going to come up in a bit and kind of be a representative sample of that older crew. And then a whole bunch of you have grandkids, particularly grandkids that are still in school is the ones that I'm thinking about, and we want to pray for that bunch too. So the story has to do with children trying to come to Jesus. Actually, moms were bringing the babies and the children to Jesus. Now, can you three come up here? Can you three come up here? And I'm going to have you. You're not afraid of talking in microphones, are you?
No.
Well, do this. Go right there and talk into that and tell everybody your name.
My name is Aaliyah.
And how old are you? And where is mom and dad? Can you point to them? Yep, there's mom and dad. And then you've got something special going on today. Point to all of your grandpas and grandmas that are here. Yeah, look at that. We've got a whole bunch. They got the full set that are here this morning. Now, I got a question for you. If you could ask Jesus any question, what would you ask him? Talk into the microphone so everybody can hear you.
I don't know.
All right. What would you say thank you to him about?
For cleaning up my toys.
For cleaning up the toys? Wow, that's special. I'm glad Jesus did that for you. All right. So I want you to scoot back. Let your sister get in here now. Tell everybody your name. You're going to have to get close. Oh, man, my microphone is going down on us.
Emmy.
And how old are you?
6.
You're 6. And you guys are all brothers and sisters, so same crew, right? Right here on the front row. Do you like to sing for Jesus?
Yeah.
I saw you singing this morning. So if you could ask Jesus a question, what would you ask him?
How to chase a rainbow.
How to what a rainbow? How to chase a rainbow? That would be quite the thing. All right. You too? You do it as well? And what are you really thankful to Jesus about? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because there's so much. Can I make it easier? What type of animal are you the most thankful to Jesus for?
Puppies.
That's definitely your brothers, apparently. So. Okay. Well, thank you. Now, let your brother in there. He's just itching to get his microphone. Tell everybody your name.
Isaiah.
This is Isaiah. And how old are you?
7.5.
7.5. And what would you ask Jesus if you could?
When he was born, I know he wasn't born, but just how it started.
Okay, you'd like to know what? The beginning, even farther back, huh? Well, that's kind of weird because he doesn't have a beginning, isn't it? That'd be very strange. That's a hard question to answer, isn't it? And what would you tell them that you're most thankful for?
Making beers.
Making what?
Beers.
Beer.
Making the earth. Okay. All right. My apologies. Our masks are causing us trouble on you. Sorry. All right. Now, would you guys like to hear a story that involves kids and Jesus?
Yeah.
All right. So, did you know that Jesus, one time, when he was traveling, getting ready to go to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday, you guys know about this, right? This is the next week. You guys like waving those around, don't you?
Yeah.
So when he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday, all that going into Jerusalem, that there were a bunch of ladies, moms, that were bringing kids your age and Elliot's age. Elliot, like I said, is back in the nursery right now. He's a toddler or a baby. And so they were trying to bring Jesus, these babies and these little kids, in order to let Jesus touch them and pray for them. Now that's pretty cool, right? Wouldn't you guys love to be prayed for by Jesus? And be cuddled by Jesus and given a big old hug? Well, the apostles, you know, Peter, James, John.
We learned this story in the back.
Oh, yeah, you guys talked about it this morning in Sunday school class, didn't you? What did they do in order to be part of the story? What did they say to the moms?
Stop bringing your children.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. They said, quit it. Jesus is too busy for this. You can't bring your babies up here and expect Jesus to be taking all this time praying for them and hugging on them and talking to them. And what did Jesus say back?
Stop.
Yeah, basically, yes. He says, stop. He said, stop it. Let the little children come to me. Because they belong to the kingdom of God. And you know what that means? It's the thing you learned in your class this morning. You guys are all very, very special to Jesus. All of our young people, very special to Jesus. Because you have still got that good trust for him. Do you trust your dad?
Yeah, lots of times.
Lots of times. I want you to stand right here. Dad, stand right here. I want you to stand right here. Run as fast as you can and jump his arm. Quick, do it. No, jump to him. Okay. You trust your dad?
Yeah.
Do it. Jump in. Oh, my goodness. How about mom? Do we trust mom? Mom, why don't you come up here? Can you trust mom? Do it. See what happens. All right. Excellent. Now, all three of you, you can go down there now and sit back with mom and dad.
Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you for helping us. Because that illustrates exactly what Jesus was trying to get across. Is that little children are born without this mistrust that we all kind of grow into. Because we're surrounded by people that some of them we can trust, but some of them we find out we can't. And so we kind of hesitate to have anything to do with them. But little kids in particular are very trusting of mom and dad and grown-ups. I usually tell this story when I'm talking about this particular topic. I always try to get Adam to jump into my arms when he was a little bitty kid from all sorts of different places. And every once in a while, I turn around and he was already in the air. because you know, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because they've gotten to the point where they just said, oh, anytime I'm jumping, he'll be catching, right? And that's the way little kids are toward Jesus. And Jesus said in this same story, though, that this is the way we're supposed to be, too. Those who belong to the kingdom of God do so because they trust God to look out for what's best for them, for us. And we are supposed to lay everything into his hands, because he cares about us. Now, in this story, though, it's the problem of the apostles that we have to deal with. And that is, they had adopted the attitude that children can very often be a bother. They can be a distraction from the things that we're trying to get done. I'll use my own example with Adam again. Shame on me from time to time. I would be too busy to do things with him and tell him that. And that I realized later, hopefully often soon enough that I can make up for it, was sending the wrong signal. That he was valuable, but I was not treating him as such. Now, the scripture that we're looking at, it's only three verses long in Matthew. This is what it says. It's Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children alone. Don't hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And then after laying his hands on them, he departed from there. That's it. It's pretty much the same over in Mark and Luke. Just a very brief story. But the bad guys in the story are the apostles who end up being the leaders of the church later. And the lesson that they needed to learn was, children are loved by God from the moment they are conceived. Actually, from God's standard, they are loved by God from the before time began itself, because he already knew that they were coming. And so our little bitty babies, our moms that are having the baby ready to come, to be delivered, carrying the baby for 9 months, Jesus loves those little children, and he wants what's best for them, which means we should want what's best for them and want to welcome them into this world and protect them. When they get to these younger ages and they start exploring, you know, they're learning how to talk and they're learning how to crawl and then walk and run, and they're figuring out how to figure out language. You know, we send them to school or we do the schooling ourselves, and we teach them everything that they need to learn in order to be part of adult society later. We show them the shapes of the letters. We're doing that because they're valuable. They mean everything to God. In the countries that were driven by the gospel, one of the things that they put a lot of emphasis on, and we see this in North American history, is education for young people. And the reason they wanted young people to learn, the reason why you guys get to go to school, is because we want them to be able to read for themselves the Bible, to read the stories for themselves that Jesus loves them so much that he died on the cross and rose again, the very story that we're kind of starting this week to celebrate again this year. That's the value that we put upon the kids. Now we run into a problem here, because the world is doing a training from a different direction. They are also putting thoughts into the kids' heads and teaching them things which unfortunately contradict a lot of the stuff we have in our own scripture. Which is why we have Sunday school and we have other classes, and we try to, some of you have little times where you read Bible stories to your kids. One of the things I remember from my youth is having Bible stories read to me by my parents and getting all those basics in my head early on, that God can be trusted, God does concern himself with me, I am valuable to him. Because those things need to be formulated as a safeguard against what the world's telling them, which often is unfortunately things like, you're very little in the larger scheme of things, because everything just happened by accident and you're an accident. And that's not good for the kids to hear. And so we as adults need to take an active role in helping these kids see God's value in them. It's one of the reasons that I do try to put a lot of emphasis on our own activities with kids. And I hope you also noticed some of the things that I did. Did you notice I got down on my knees a little while ago? Why did I do that? Why do you guys do that?
Down at their level.
You got to get down on their level. And when you talk to the stories and you ask them the questions, you try to interact and interrelate with them on their level. You know, I still go back to two different Christian schools and do chapel services. And I try to engage them on those things. And when we do our VBS and things like that, I usually take on a character and have a lot of fun with the kids. We sing the songs a little while ago, right? Now, I know some of you, you're like, oh, I don't like doing these songs with actions. I don't like these little kids' songs. Well, guess what? The kids love them. And the kids need to move. And because they need it, we have to provide it. Because you see, Jesus said we should not put any barriers between him and them. We should do our best to bring them into the kingdom and to keep them in the kingdom. I'm going to have a couple of our high schoolers come up as an example. Come on up, guys. I warned you this was coming, and you said you were good with it, so. You guys are going to take turns at this microphone over here. That's more to your height, except for you, Kiera. Sorry.
Yeah.
I can get my higher than you. How's this? Does that work? Is that more your size? Okay, cool. All right, introduce yourself, Kiera.
Hi, I'm Kiera, and I go to Constantine High School. I'm a junior.
Well, that introduces you, so what question would you ask Jesus?
I'd ask him why he made mosquitoes.
Why did he make mosquitoes? Very good. That would might be a very interesting one. And you know only half of mosquitoes bite you. Only the females bite you.
Oh, so. Yeah, I know that.
Okay, so.
I know that the males, I think they drink
coffee. So you don't have to worry. Probably the answer to that is he didn't originally make them that way. They got that way.
I read a book about females use the human blood to produce it.
Very good, very good. So science is involved, but there is also Bible reasons involved. Good question. And what would you tell me was the most thankful thing for you?
For the opportunities I've gotten.
The opportunities you've had in life?
Yeah.
All right. All right, what are you two over there? Just jump up there and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm James. Everyone calls me JJ. I go to Constantine High School as well. I'm a sophomore.
And what are you, what would you ask Jesus?
Where's my dog?
Where's your dog? Okay, that would be a good question. Your dog passed away not too long ago, right? And so that would be a reasonable question to ask. And I hope the answer would be somewhere safe for you to meet him later. But we don't know. But Jesus can answer that question. And what are you thankful for? To Jesus.
My grandma.
Your grandma. And that's very nice. All right. Hey, Grace, you want to jump in here?
Hi.
Okay, you're going to have to get up a little closer and then do the introduction of yourself.
I'm Grace. I go to Penn. I'm 17.
Very good. And question for Jesus, what would you ask, just as a curiosity? If aliens exist, all right. Very interesting. Okay. And what about the thing you're thankful for?
My family.
Your family. Very, very good. Over here. Part of the family over here. So, you guys, do you guys ever run into any trouble with people telling you things that are opposite of the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. And so, does it help having people like here, some of them have been your teachers and some of them have been your VBS stuff. Does it help having them tell you that they love you and Jesus loves you and you can trust the Bible? Does that make a difference, you guys?
I'd say it makes me feel a little less crazy.
Okay, it makes you feel a little less crazy?
I was going to say, it feels like in the society that we have to be a part of it being in schools and stuff. It's like, oh, these Christian people are crazy and the stuff they believe in is all fake and stuff. But then I have this community and it's like, well, I feel a little more level-headed in that. It's not just something made up that's real.
Good. So it does help you.
Because like the world wants you to perceive Christianity as something fake and it doesn't make sense.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Why don't you guys go ahead and sit back down again. I'm going to do prayer kind of as a larger group. So you guys go, thank you for coming up here. Now, obviously, we can talk to these young people at any time and ask them how things are going. You know, is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there stuff happening in your life right now that I can help you with? Because that's what Jesus would want us to do. Because these guys mean the world to him. How much do they mean to him? Well, they mean the same thing to him that all of us do. And Jesus Christ died for us, every last one of us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us because he did not want us to spend eternity outside of his presence. I want us to pray, starting kind of in the reverse order here. We're going to start praying for some of the older ones. The kids that are like in their teens and beyond, they're kind of in that transition phase where they're wanting to kind of be individuals, they're wanting to be out on their own, but they don't have all the life skills just yet in order to do all of that. And so sometimes you run into this with that age group, right? Because they want to be independent of you, and yet they still kind of need you to be around and kind of look after them, make sure they don't make some of the bad choices that might cost a great deal of trouble for them. So let's pray for that age group first. Father, we do pray for our teenagers and up, the ones that they've got through a lot of the training already. They've still got a lot of training to go, but they are getting a lot more peer pressure. They're getting a lot more stuff thrown at them from other people that maybe don't always believe the same way mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and the preacher and all of those believe. And that makes it tough. And so we pray your protection on them in their high schools and in their junior highs and the upper middle schools. Help them, Lord, to get enough of their own information about Jesus from the scripture and be strong in you, that they can stand up to a lot of that new information that's being really difficult. And right now, Lord, they're really having a tough time with the pandemic because they are so social and they want to interact with everybody else their own age group. And so we pray that you'd help them get through this tough time. It's really tough for them also in the learning process when they don't have that face-to-face interaction with the teachers. So please, Lord, get them through this time and help all of their parents and all the adults in their sphere of influence to help them get through this. And help these young people also to trust those that care about them. Let's go ahead and pray next. We're going to pray for the middle group, right? The ones that were kind of represented that came up just a little while ago. Those elementary age down into the preschoolers and stuff like that. The ones they've got their language, they've got their verbiage, but they don't yet have that independence that they're going to be able to do yet. So let's pray for them next. Father, we thank you for the joy we see in some of these younger kids. The ones that still have a great deal of trust. So much so that we have to protect them sometimes from their trust in people that could go awry. So Lord, we pray for these young people that you'd help them as they're learning all of their letters and all of their numbers and math and some of the basic science and things. Help them to just love all that stuff and to soak it up like a big old sponge. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to soak Jesus up as well and to love all the Bible stories that are told to them. I ask, Lord, that you'd help all of our teachers here in this auditorium, in this congregation, to be excited about the Bible stories when they share them with these young ones, so that they can be excited too. Help us all to have the energy necessary to keep up with them, the moms and the dads and grandparents, everybody else, because they are just so full of energy, and we're thankful for that. Protect them, Lord. Give them good health, and let them just keep on loving you and never give that up. Let's pray for one more group, by the way, folks. And that's the little babes in arms. The Gospel of Luke actually uses the word for a baby in arms as one of the groups that they are bringing. These moms wanted Jesus to take him in his arms and just cuddle him and pray over him. Now think about that. Think about how much time that would have taken to have this great big bunch of ladies come up with their babies. And that's probably one of the reasons the apostles are like, no, he needs his rest. He's been walking all day. He's been teaching all day. You've got to leave him alone. Leave him alone. Take those kids away. And Jesus is like, no. Give me those babies. Give me those children. Let me love on them a bit. Because these kids belong to God. So let's pray for them. Father, from the moment of conception onward, Lord, you have gifted us with these babies. Sometimes they come into this world in very strange circumstances, sometimes very trying circumstances, but they are still the children that you love. We pray for their parents that are going to be the first ones involved in their lives. We pray that you would protect them in those circumstances, that the right things can happen. Let the babies be born healthy. Let the babies be cared for by those around them. And Lord, may they be loved in such a way that they know it and understand it from the very first moments of their own thinking process. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to value life, to value it every time we see it and hear about it. And may we never, ever consider children of any age to be an inconvenience or something of no value, because we know that is not true in your eyes. So help us, Father, to let the little children come to Jesus every chance we get. It's in Christ's name we pray together. Amen. Adults, I want to end this morning on a little bit more serious note on this. I've been a little bit serious about some stuff already. This is one of the few times in the Gospel of Luke where it says that Jesus got mad about something. He was angry with his apostles for getting in the way of his loving concern for these kids. And we need to take that to heart in our own lives. The apostles, should have known better already than to do this. Because it had only been a very short time before this that Jesus had used a little child as an illustration. And this is the way that it happened. This is all happening as they're traveling toward Jerusalem for that final time, for Palm Sunday. And on the road, the apostles were arguing about something. They were going at it, back and forth. Jesus was up ahead, apparently, and they were hanging back, doing their little thing in the caravan. And when they stopped for that evening, Jesus said, "So what are you guys arguing about there? I heard you arguing. What was it?" And none of them wanted to talk to him about it. Do you want to know why? Because they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. They wanted to figure out, where do I fit in this grouping? Am I number one or number two? Or am I the number 12? Am I the guy on the bottom of the pecking order? And they were apparently arguing back and forth on that. And Jesus had to teach them a lesson. Matthew chapter number 18. It says in verse 2, "He called a child to himself and set him before them." So in this caravan, there would have been families. And where there's families, there's kids. And so Jesus says, "Here, come over here." And he brought over a little boy, probably like a preschool, maybe kindergarten age, lower elementary, somebody about that age. And he took him up in his arms, according to the other passages here, and he was hugging on him as he talked to his disciples. And he said this, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted," that is, change your attitude, "and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." We have got to get back to our kid-like faith, our kid-like trust, to know that God cares about us and he wants what's best for us, and we can trust him in that. And we've also got to get back to the excitement that was part of that. How many of you remember the excitement that you had when you first became a Christian? Remember that? You were like crazy on fire. You loved being able to talk about Jesus. You couldn't get enough Bible in you. It was just fantastic. You know what that was? That was kid-like joy. And Jesus says, we've got to get that back in place. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then Jesus gives this final warning. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Because these littlest kids in particular trust people, there is a great curse put upon anyone that would abuse and misuse that trust. And none of us as Christians should ever allow that to come up in our own life. And most certainly, we've got to be protective of the kids to make sure it does not come up in their lives from somebody else. Because Jesus wants the little children to come back to him. He gave them as a gift. Psalm 127 talks about this idea, that children are an inheritance given from the Lord. He loans them to us for a short period of time, and he expects them to be given back to him, fully loving him. And the way that we do that is we love on them just like he loves on them now. So we're going to have one last prayer on this whole topic. And then we're going to close out this morning with another kid's song, which we're going to sing again next week because it's all about Palm Sunday stuff. And that's what next week is all about. So let's pray. And then we're going to stand up together and we're going to praise the Lord on the way out this morning. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the little children. Thank you for these young ones that were here today, for the ones that are joining us by the internet. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to just be very, very happy that they are loved by Jesus. And to be thankful for their moms and dads and grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, cousins, whoever it is that loves them so very much and wants them to be protected and to know you very well. Father, help every last one of us in here to never, ever put a stumbling block in the path of children, but instead to be a stair step for them to come closer to you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen.